No, I was thinking about, you know, what happened on Friday, and then I started looking at myself, because as you know, and I pray daily for New Zealand. I felt God's given me this assignment to pray for this nation. And I go hard, and I go hard at the enemy, and I thought, Lord, what was I doing? Did I pray for the nation? And I couldn't remember if I had prayed for it before 1:45. And, you know, you feel really bad. God, you know, I'm not sure. I may have, but or whether I prayed after that time, I don't know. But then you start to think, well, you know, we've got to be listening so closely to the Spirit of God. How many people did he warn, believers, to pray, to pray, to pray? You know, we can divert things. We can stop things, you know, when something like that happens. And so, you know, I was just thinking about that. And you know, the word says, don't be weary in well-doing. And sometimes, you know, when you pray like that, you actually get tired. I mean, I physically get tired, and you feel like spiritually, because you're giving out, I suppose, you get spiritually tired too. And that's not what God wants, of course. But I know God's going to do something wonderful in this nation. And I think the devil, he knows that. He knows. And he'll do whatever he can. But, you know, we're in a battle. We're in a battle. But the good news is we win. It's fight the good fight. It's a good fight, because a good fight is one you win, isn't that right? It's not a bad fight when you're left lying on the ground and the victor walks off, is it? That's not a good fight if I'm one on the ground. The good fight is when the enemy's left on the ground and I'm walking off. And that's how we should be. We have got the Word of God. We've got the power of God in us. We are children of the Most High God. We are warriors. We fight for truth. We fight for justice. We fight for the will of God, the kingdom of God being seen in this earth. We're not pacifists, okay? You can be a pacifist if you want, but if you're in the kingdom of God, you're not a pacifist. You're a warrior, and we are in a fight, but it's a good fight, because Jesus has already defeated the enemy. But he has to be reminded of that. Satan will do anything. He's a deceiver, and he'll try anything he knows. And I've gone again, haven't I? Back and forward. Okay, so the battlefield, I want to say the battlefield for every Christian is in here, in your mind. That's where the battle is. Every battle fought and lost is in our mind. That's the truth. Every battle fought and lost, or fought and won, it comes through the mind. And but the wonderful thing is that the Bible, it's God-breathed. It's a supernatural book. This actually is a supernatural book. There's no other book like this one. This is God-breathed, God-inspired. And within this book, there are many hidden things for us to search out. And, you know, that, and God speaks. Have you found that he speaks like in layers, if you like? And you find a thing and think, yeah, you know, you see it this way. And then next minute you see it another way. So God has got, he's amazing. He's brilliant. He's the greatest mathematician anywhere, even better than Lisa. But, you know, he has codes, and I mean, that's just mind-boggling how he does things, and especially in the Hebrew language, which I don't speak or know, but I'd be lovely too. But you know, that it's just how that has got these meanings, and it's just quite incredible. But the thing is, you know, God, he will speak plainly in his word, but other times he's got hidden meanings and things for us to seek out. So the Word of God should never be boring. It's only boring because we think it's boring. You need to read it differently. If you don't know where to start, well, I just think Gospels is a good place. Psalms is a good place. I love Ephesians. Get into Ephesians. Get into Colossians. There's some books are easier than others. I wouldn't say start in Leviticus. Not a good place to start. At all. So just go to where you're going to find something that you can get your teeth into and that you can fight with, and find the promises of God. I remember when when I just became a Christian and people would be up the front saying, you know, stand on the promises of God. I said, what are the promises of God? And I thought, what are these promises? You know, and I didn't know how to find them, but I found them. I found some of them. I'm sure there's more I haven't found yet. But the more you get in the Word, the more you come to church and you hear the promises of God, you know, about who we are, what Christ has done for us, and how we can win. We are more than conquerors. There's a good promise. You know, we win. We are winners. He's given us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, we've got so many wonderful things that we can stand on and believe God for. But you never will be able to do it unless you do actually open your Bible, or maybe you've got it on your phone. I can never get as excited about on my phone reading the Word as on a written book. It's just something about something in your hand like this, pages you can turn, print you can read, you know, not sort of like this. And you can write on it, you can colour it, you can do whatever you like. It's great. Something, you know, God says in heaven there are books. They open books and they have scrolls. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, you know, you might be, oh, this is old-fashioned. Well, it's not that old-fashioned. God's ahead of everybody. He knows the beginning from the end. He's right ahead of us. He still has books. Now, anyway, it reminds me of Colin Miller. You know, he's all into, if you were at the ICFM conference, you were... It was so funny. Him and Stefan, you know, they like to have each other on. Stefan's a very much tech man, and Colin likes, you know, he's this sort of man. So that's funny. And if you would like to hear more of them, please come to our ICFM conference the first week in June. It's going to be powerful. We have Fergus McIntyre again and Tommy. And hallelujah, back. Just actually, it seems to be something if you bump that, isn't it? This is something funny going on there. Right. So anyway, yep. I think it's the third. After Queen's birthday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, please come. Even if you can come to part of it, it's just such a great way to build yourself up. And I just love it because we see that, you know, we're just friends with all these other churches too. And that's what I love about it. And friends with the ministers, and it's just really good, so I encourage you. Okay then, so we don't want to be illiterate. Please don't be an illiterate believer. Read the Word, learn the Word, study the Word, find out about the Word, get into Bible studies. If you say, well, I don't know of one, well, let you know, get with somebody and get a study. We have studies here that you can go through. So there's always something you can do. Join Miriam's group, or if you're a guy, perhaps not, but... find a guy who will take you through a study. All right? It's very important. So Satan is a strategist. He's not just, you know, he's an actual strategist. He doesn't go around randomly striking people. He puts a plan into place, always. And, you know, military battles are always won, you know, through history, they're won through planning, not through random attacks. They're planned. They have strategists. They have the war room where they strategize and they determine where the enemy is, how they'll attack the enemy and be effective. And so God is the greatest strategist of all. And Satan can never succeed against a believer, never, who live by their convictions and by righteousness, through righteousness. And for us as believers, fighting is everything. He said, oh, I just thought this was a peaceful, just peaceful. I'm not talking about, you don't fight people. We don't fight people. The Christians fight the enemy. We push back darkness. We need to push it back, push it off our communities, push it out of our nation. You know, I'm just believing, God, we're going to get to this place where this nation, that darkness can't come here. They're too scared because there's too much light. Could that ever happen? I believe it could. I believe there will come a day. And, you know, I'm believing this whole community will be a region of light. But I believe our whole nation can be a nation of light. And if any demon comes here, he's going to flee in a moment because he's going to be so hurt and burnt by the glory of God that is here. So you've got to dream big. See big. God is big. He doesn't think small. We think small. We think, oh, I just got to push him out of my family. Let's expand our thinking. We can push him out of schools. Yeah. You know, now that Evie Willow's at school, I send the host in there. I take power over every, I go witchcraft, you know, everything that, don't forget there are witches and warlocks around, and they put curses on people. That's true. That is true. But, you know, send that curse back to them. The Bible talks about that, you know, that you can send it back. And so we are in a fight, but we win. And these are good days to be in, absolutely great days. And as I said, the greatest strategist is God. And as believers, you know, Satan can never succeed if we live by our convictions of truth, of justice, of love, of all of these things that we stand, we have a conviction for. We won't tolerate injustice. We won't tolerate the enemy having our family, having our community, destroying people through drugs, destroying them through other ways. You know, come on, guys. Is there a warrior in you or not? Are you a fighter? Oh, no. Yes? How many of you are fighters? Yeah, good. Be a fighter. Stop being a pacifist. The devil, he's not a pacifist. He hates you. He hates us. He hates anything to do with God, anything made in the image of God. He hates God's creation. He's out to destroy it. Jesus defeated him on the cross, stripped him of his power, took from him the keys of hell, death, and the grave. And he gave you the authority. He says, now you go into all the earth. You make disciples of nations. Not disciples of people. Yes, of course we disciple people. But this is bigger. We make disciples of nations. So we're in this nation, and we're to disciple our nation. I actually heard something a prophet said just recently. She said, where you're born carries weight in the spirit realm. I thought, wow, guess where I was born? Christchurch. So I thought, God, if that's true, I'm not moving there. Okay, that's okay. But I thought, wonder if I could go down there, find a place where I could go pray. Because if I carry authority, because I was born there, maybe I could just do something. Maybe I could just a bit of difference. You know, I don't say I could clean up the whole place, but if we all did our part, all of us played our part, we can shift, push back darkness and stop what happened on Friday. So that will never happen in our nation again, ever. Okay? Sorry, I'm sounding a bit. I'm sounding like that. But I'm not, well, I'm there, but I'm here. Yeah. So come on, we live by our convictions and by righteousness. We walk in truth. We walk in righteousness. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Haven't we? We've been made righteous with his righteousness. That gives us a right to take authority. And we've got to live a righteous life. You will never defeat the enemy if you're living an unrighteous life. If you're living in sin, forget it. You know, before you ever pray, you better say, Lord, just forgive me. I've missed it. I've blown it. Get yourself right. And then you will have authority in the realm of the Spirit. That's as clear as it is. Because if we've got sin in our lives, continual sin, the devil will just laugh. He says, you know, there'll be no power in what we do and what we say. So fighting is everything. We've got to fight darkness. I love David in the Bible. You know, he was actually called, God called him a man of war. And I think that's right where we are right now. There's going to time, you know, his son took over from him and he was a man of peace. He lived in what his father had won for him. And there will come a generation who will live in what we've fought for that they can live in. And hopefully we're still alive to live in it too. Okay? And so David, he lived by his convictions and by righteousness. He was a righteous man, young yet lad, actually, when he started off his training. And you know the story. He fought the lion and the bear. He defeated them. He would fight out there. You think, well, what's there to fight out there in the wilderness? Lions and bears. Lions and bears. And that stirred him up, because those lions and those bears were trying to steal what belonged to him and his father. And he did not tolerate it. And so we should be angry when the devil tries to steal what belongs to us and what belongs to the Father, our Father. What belongs to him, we should have a fight on the inside of us. I'm not going to tolerate that. You're not going to tolerate him taking, destroying this life, destroying this person, destroying their faith, destroying their health, destroying their peace, their finances, their children. You know, that we need to live by our convictions and be righteous, live by righteousness. So when he came across Goliath and the Philistine army, he had no hesitation in fighting. He'd already practiced. He'd already done it. You know, practice on the small demons and then work up to the bigger ones. All right? But he had no hesitation at all, because he always lived by his convictions, what is just and what belongs to him. And he had an amazing relationship with God. He was a psalmist. You know, he was this man of war, but he was a psalmist. He'd play his little lute and he'd be singing songs to the Lord. So he fought in worship and he fought with his hands as well. And so to him, Goliath was just another bear. But fighting was everything for him. He would fight for justice. He would fight for truth. Is there not a cause, he said, you know, when he wanted to go and fight. Is there not a cause? Of course there's a cause. There's a cause, because this Goliath is defying and speaking against the armies of the living God. And he's not even circumcised. And if you don't know what that means, it means he didn't have a covenant with God. You had to be circumcised to be in covenant with God. It's changed now, because you see, we're circumcised in our hearts by Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. So is there not a cause that we should fight? There definitely is a cause. We're fighting for righteousness. We're fighting for justice. We are fighting for truth. We're not allowing the enemy to have our lives, to have our children's lives, to have our church, to have our community, to have our nation. Amen. At all. Amen? Amen? We are fighting. There is a cause to defeat the enemies of God. Absolutely. So if we don't care about righteousness or living in right standing with God, we're going to be weak. We need to live a righteous life, as I said before. It says we have been made the righteousness of God in him. So we should live like him. Isn't that right? Yeah. Hallelujah. Whew. Stirred up. I'm stirred up. You know, I'm just stirred up. That shouldn't have happened on Friday. It should not have happened. Not. And it will never, ever. I'm telling Satan now, that will never happen in our nation again, ever. We will not tolerate it. We will not allow it. Not at all. Ooh, okay, so if we carry within us the conviction that Satan is behind all that is evil and all that is wrong, we need to carry that conviction that that Satan is behind all that is evil and all that is wrong, and that he has been defeated by Jesus Christ, and we have the power to fight now. We have the power to do something about it. And when we fight, we will win if we do it right. We fight for what is right. Absolutely. And when you live by conviction, you live by righteousness, fighting is everything. And war in the spirit realm is not a game. It's not a game we play. It's serious. And we mean it. Amen? It's our duty. We're in the army. We're in the army of God. And we have an army that fights for us, a supernatural, spiritual army, which is powerful. And they'll go off and they'll Tell you what, you tell them to go shred those things to bits, they will. They will. But you've got to first take authority and you've got to strip away the power of darkness, because that's our authority as believers. They don't have that right. We have the right to strip away the power of darkness. Then we send them off and they will deal with them. You know, I won't try. I'm not one of these ones who'll try, go up, pull down, the demonic principalities and powers myself. Not at all. You wouldn't do that. But the host can. They can do that. But I can strip away their power so they can go and do that. And you can do that as well. So as I say, it's our duty as believers to fight against darkness. And we're going to go to, Gary mentioned it this morning, which was pretty cool, Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to start at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Say, I am strong in the Lord. Yeah, you are. Because you're in the Lord, you're strong. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're strong in the power of his might. Not our might, his might. So you are. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles in the Greek is methodia, and it means trickery. So planning, it means organization, methods. It's very, Satan is methodical. And so that's what it actually means. It's trickery, planning, and organization. So it says there to put on that you may be able to. So we need the whole armor if we're going to stand against the trickery and the planning of the enemy. He lies in wait as we walk the journey of faith, to make a mockery of God's word, to make a mockery of God's children and of our faith. He plans, how can I kill, steal, and destroy? That's what he comes to do. Jesus said, the devil, the enemy, comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life in abundance. Isn't that good? Life in abundance. Thank you, Jesus. He did that for us, that we can live life in abundance. The enemy may try, come to kill, to steal, or destroy, but Jesus Christ has defeated him and has given us the authority to use against him while we're on this earth. All right? So the enemy, he lies in what he plans. He strategizes how he can bring us down, how he can prevent us from finishing the race, and how he can get us disqualified from the race of life. He, as I said before, he hates us. He hates God, hates mankind, hates God's word. Absolutely. There's no love in Satan. There's no mercy in him. People give their lives to him, but they don't realize. He promises them great wealth and great blah, blah, blah. But I tell you what, he hates them. And they'll suffer for it. If they never don't repent before they die, they'll suffer. They really will. Oh, it's a happy message, isn't it? Yes. It finishes good, yes. It is good. So because he hates us, so why does he have to trick us? You know, why is he there uses trickery? Why does he do that? It's because unless we fall for his lies and for his strategies of deceit, he cannot destroy us. He cannot touch us. So the thing is not to fall for his strategies. And so, oh yeah, that's right. We're told we must stand against those tricks, against the wiles, the schemes of the enemy. And we can't stand in our own righteousness. We stand in Jesus' righteousness. And we stand in his wisdom. We stand in his ability. We stand in the whole armor of God. So let's carry on reading about it. Put on the whole armor of God, number 11 again, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks, the trickery of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That's it. We don't fight with each other. You may think you're fighting with people. We're not. We're fighting with what's behind them. but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, so because of that, those are the ones we are fighting. Excuse me. Because of that, take up the whole armour of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. He'll try and come against us, isn't that right? There's always an evil day that he'll try. When everything's going good, you know, when everything seems to be going good. But maybe you're just at a vulnerable spot. He will try. But we take, so we can be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all, to stand. Stand your ground. Like in war, don't retreat, stand your ground. Stand your ground. Don't retreat. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So we need to know the word of God. Find the truth. What's the truth? What's God saying to us? Who are you as a child of the living God? What power do you have and authority do you carry? You've got God Almighty behind you, backing you up. Jesus Christ stands with you. You're a joint heirs with Jesus Christ, heirs of God. That's how powerful you are. So you know the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, we've got it covers your heart and all that area. So you've got the breastplate of righteousness. You need to know who you are. You have been made righteous by Jesus Christ. You've been made righteous with his righteousness. Isn't that amazing? So you've got to know that you have right standing with Almighty God. Don't let the devil say, oh, well, look, you sin, you've got no right to go to God. Say, I have every right. I'm his child and I'm bought by the blood of Jesus. And I'm going there right now to get myself right. You know, don't ever let him tell you you've missed it too long. You've done it too much. You know, God will never forgive you now. Don't listen to his lie. Just say, no devil. As long as there's breath in me, I'm going to my Father and I'm going to repent before him. And the blood of Jesus will wash you whiter than snow. All right? Thank you, Jesus. No sin. So there's no sin visible. Okay. So where are we up to? Breastplate of righteousness. So you have right standing with God. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So you're going places. You're shod to do something. Amen? You've got the gospel on your feet sort of thing. You're going places. You're going where God wants you to go. And, you know, like the army, they just don't stand there doing nothing. Oh, I'm all armoured up. We're just sitting in our barracks now. That's what many Christians do, just sit in church. Take off your armour, go home. Hey, you need an armour out there more than you need it in here. In fact, you don't take it off at all. Even at night, you don't take it off. You leave your armour on. Just a few weeks ago, actually, I woke up in the night and it was the weirdest feeling. There's like a real pressure. Just felt like there was a war going on above my home. I believe there was. And I started praying. It was really weird. I have never had that before. It just felt like a real, like something was trying to get in at me. And I woke and I said, okay, Lord, what is that? You know, and I just prayed and I just said, I just take power of anything that's trying to come in here or come against me. And I strip out its power. Host, you go do your thing. Go deal to those things. And then it went. Tell you what, it went. But it was the weirdest thing. So yeah, you don't take your armor off and leave it lying by your bed. You might just need it in the middle of the night. All right? Yeah. Okay, what are we up to? 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Love that. The shield of faith. You've got your faith. You know, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So now he's coming. Remember your mind? You've got the helmet of salvation on. You know you're saved. You've got that helmet on and your shield. Oof, shield. And you've got something else in your right hand. But just let's go for the shield at the minute. And all those darts are coming at you. Say, no devil, the word of God says that I'm a child of the living God. I've been bought for a price. I'm not my own. You know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me, you know, shall fail and fall to the ground. So you need to know the word and get it, you know, that God, you said the seed of the righteous, you know, you get things about your kids. No devil, and you're fearful about your kids. Father, you said the seed of the righteous are blessed. The seed, the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren of the righteous are blessed. So I don't accept that for my child. I won't accept that. I just call them blessed. I call them, you know, they're going to be a mighty man or woman of God. They love Jesus. So that's how you fight. You quench those darts that Satan's trying to fire at your mind, that you're going to fail, that you're no good. Whatever. You know, suddenly pain hits your body, you're going to die. Or you're in a difficult financial position, you're going to go bankrupt. Say, no devil. No devil. But even if I did, God will restore what you've stolen. You know, so that's your shield and your sword, actually. It's going to quench all the fiery darts. Take the helmet of salvation, got that on your head, guarding your mind, your soul, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's the good one. And you stick it in the enemy. Okay? Chop his head off. Cut his legs off. Do the worst you can. Do whatever you can with your sword. The word of God is your sword. And where do you keep it? Not on beside your bed, closed, dusty. You keep it in your heart and in your mouth. Because when you speak the word, it's like you form a sword. This is true. It forms a sword, and your angel will take that sword and fight the enemy with it. Isn't that good? Yes. You're warriors. You're fighters. We're winners. Yes. We win. Okay. Lucky I kept this one short, because it was double the length of this, but I'm going to do that, carry on next week. So did I finish the, yes? Well, let's just do 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Don't forget to pray. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, he said. So we're going to pray for one another. Just don't pray for yourself. Expand your vision. Expand who you're praying for. Okay then, so I just want to touch on one thing here. You know, we are a body. An army, when they fight and win a war, they're not all scattered and doing their own little thing. Oh, I'll just go fight this enemy here and I'll fight this enemy here. No, they're together. They march together. They hold together. They plan. They say, this is what we're going to do. This battalion or whatever, going to do this and you're going to do that. So they know what they're going to do. And that's how they keep each other safe. And that's what we need to do. We're a body. We fight together as a body. Isn't that powerful? Man, if the whole body of Christ will get a hold of this, powerful. Satan won't have a chance. Not at all. No chance at all. And so we've got to learn to fight as one, not fight with each other, for goodness sake. How stupid is that? If you're into that, stop fighting. Don't fight with one another. Love one another. We're supposed to love the brethren. We're meant to love the one another. How can we defeat the enemy if we're all in division and strife? They'll just come breezing in here. No. We're one body. We plan and we strategize together. We fight together. We pray for one another. You know, when you hear someone struggling, just forget about it. Pray for them. Amen. Fight for each other. We're an army. We're a body. We're brothers and sisters, for goodness sake, too. Yeah, family. Isn't that amazing? In heaven, we'll just be one big family. We've all got the same Father. We've all got the same Father. We came from the Father. I'm sorry. If you don't like me, it's too bad. I'm going to be in heaven and I'll be there all eternity in your face. So if you don't like me now, you'll have to like me in heaven, okay? Amen. My goodness. All right. Actually, it's getting fun now, isn't it? It's getting, becoming fun. All right. So, thank you, Lord. Just so thankful to you. So I just want to touch on, I'm going to talk about some of his methods of attack, how he lies in wait for us to trap us. But I'm only going to touch on one and finish, all right? So I'll have you, I know people just, I mean, once upon a time, I'll tell you a story. Once upon a time, we used to be in church for 2 hours. Maybe 3. When something was happening, it could be 4. I don't know, some nights in here, there would be people just all over the place and strange things happening and people rolling around laughing. I think, Mark, are you? You're one of those mentioned rolling around laughing. I know, Gary, you got stuck to a wall once, didn't you? I mean, this is unbelievable. Stuck to a wall, but you said your feet... I wished I'd seen that. Nobody, I was too busy praying for people. Power of God came in so strong, he got stuck to a wall. But his feet went down here. They were about there, Gary? About here? Yeah, yeah. Strange, isn't it? Yeah, I know. It's strange. So, you know, God, he likes to have fun with us. He does. I love God. You know, I remember when they had the you know, laughing revival thing come through, and Don and I thought, oh, that sounds a bit weird. No, not about that. Don't believe it. Do you remember that, Gary? We came in, and people were just, well, doing your mind. People were laughing everywhere. It was out of that you got stuck to the wall, eh? That time, yeah. Hey, at Cabity College. We were at Cabity College. We came back in there, and that revival, I remember children were all over the floor laughing. You think we're weird now? We were weird then. You know? But it wasn't. It was nothing to do with man. It was just totally God. I just think his body needed to be free. And people just got free. Because they just, you know, laughter is such an amazing medicine. It just frees your soul up totally. So, anyway, I probably won't even get on to fear because I've just kept going on rambling on other things. But fear, a number one way God will attack us is through fear. And I don't know whether I'll do this all now, but I don't even know when I started. When did I start? Tons of time. Yeah. There's no time in the spirit. Okay. Are you hungry? Too bad. Are you thirsty? You didn't bring, you brought no water? No, I've got mine. I knew we'd be here for a long time, so I brought water. Okay. Good. I think that spirit of mischief has come into this place. Isn't it? Yeah. Oh, watch what I say, though. Remember that time I said something? It came out. I won't tell you. I was meant to say Buddhism, and I won't tell you what it came out as. It wasn't Buddhism. I know. If some of you don't know, come and ask me, what did you say? Well, I might tell you if you come and ask me, or ask somebody, ask Libby, she knows what I said. Okay, so I can't talk about fear now, it's just too funny to be talking about fear. Hey, I tell you, a good weapon, laughter. Yes. Laughter chases everything off. You know, when we're feeling low or whatever, or depressed, or... Laughter is good like a medicine. And when fear comes in, you know, just laugh. What? Nah. You know, he fires this big shot at your brain, tells you something terrible is going to happen, and you just start laughing. What's he going to do? He's going to run. He's going to flee as if in terror. Resist the devil and he will flee. As if in terror. What, you know, and what are they laughing for? That was my big shot. And they're laughing? That's the thing. That's how it works and how they work. How we react, how you react determines whether they're going to hang around and put more into you or whether they're going to flee as if in terror. But resist the devil. When those thoughts come, resist them. No, devil. Do you know who you're against? Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? I'm very important in God's eyes. I am a child of the Most High God. I am wearing the whole armor of God. I don't look like I do this, but sort of look girly, isn't it? Sort of, but I don't know how to make it look manly, all right? But women are in the armed forces as well, okay? I was raised up, just ramble now. I was raised up. My dad was in the Air Force. He was an officer in the Air Force, a wing commander. And we lived on base, on the Air Force base. So, you know, we guys were in their uniforms and things. So I know about that sort of life. It's good. It's a good life. Because they were fighting for us, for our protection. I don't know why I was telling you that. It must have been a point in that. What was it? Guru, what was the point? Fighter. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I was trained as a little child about fighting, okay? In aeroplanes. Oh, I can't even do that properly. Oh, I give up. Okay. So, yeah. So, you know, took about make a fool of myself. I should have worn fatigues or something, shouldn't I? You know, and boots. And it's very hard to look like a soldier when I'm dressed like this, isn't it? But if you should see me in the spirit realm, oh my gosh. Oh, you should see me. Oh my goodness. I'm carrying the fire of God. And I'm walking there and the devils scream out. I say, get out, get out. I release the fire of God in this place. Release the fire of God on those things. Burn them up. Get out of here. Yeah. That's what we got to get like. Just act like that. Act like me if you want, but some of you won't want to do that. But so it's fun having fun, isn't it? It's fun having fun. So I'm not going to talk about fear now because we're having fun. And even though I was going to lead you in a thing at the end, but that doesn't work now because I didn't teach about fear. So we won't do that. But I tell you what, you are mighty in God. You are. You're powerful. Don't let the enemy push you around. Don't believe his lies. Don't believe what he says to you about your spouse or your children or your workplace or wherever, about the body, the church. Don't listen to him. He's a liar. Just remember, he cannot tell truth. He cannot tell truth. He twists truth. He tries to put a little bit, see, this is how he works, a little bit of truth so that it sounds good, and then there's a twist in it, which is not truth. And that's how he gets people. That's why we need to know the word of God. We need to know the whole truth, so that we will not be deceived. If we don't know this, you can be deceived. And if you hear a thing, you're not sure, ask somebody. Ask someone you know who knows the word of God. Say, what do you think of this? I heard this. What do you think about that? All right? Don't let the enemy deceive you at all. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your love and for your life, for your mercy, for your grace. And Father, we just thank you, Lord. I just thank you for everybody here, that these people are rising up to be powerful in your kingdom, powerful in this day, powerful serving you, Father God. Lord, when we resist the devil and he will flee, we put on the whole armor of God, Father. We lift up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Father, we will not be intimidated by the enemy. We will not be intimidated by his lies. We don't receive them. We don't accept them. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you empower each and every one of us. Lord, I just pray you release a whole fresh anointing upon this congregation. Release a whole new revelation upon them, Father God. Lord, that these people are just going to rise up strong in this day and in this hour to defeat darkness, to push it back, and to welcome in your kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. So, Father, we thank you for it. And once again, we pray for our whole nation. We pray the peace of God and the love of God upon our nation. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you had a counter move. When the enemy attacked on Friday, you brought in a counter move. And that's the move of love and grace and mercy. So we thank you that you just wrap your arms around all those people, Father, all those that are hurting, that whole community down there, that whole people and who've lost their loved ones, Father. Lord, we just pray you surround them with loving people who will just love on them, heal, so their hearts can be healed. This is such a hard thing to be healed of, Father. But you can do it, Lord. And I pray too that, Lord, that they would just have a revelation of the love of Jesus, how much he loves them, how much he cares for them, and that his heart is broken the way their hearts are broken to see this would ever happen. So, Father, we thank you for your love and mercy and grace upon them. I do pray also, Father, for all those that are making sense of this, Father, for the police, Father God, for all of those who are very involved in high places concerning working out what this is all about. And I pray, Father, that evil will be exposed and truth will be revealed, Father God. There's nothing hidden that won't be revealed, Father. And if this goes way beyond, this is bigger than just here, I know. It's a way beyond. Lord, let our people find the truth. Let the truth be found by the police and by the intel and by the defense forces, whoever is involved in this. Let them find the truth of this and that it will never, ever happen again in our nation and certainly not in our watch, Father. So, Father, I thank you, Father, for blessing everybody here. Bless them. Let your favor surround them. Surround them with favor with the shield. And, Father, let the joy of the Lord be their strength. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.